Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we learn about the Toys for Military Kids program, the Courage Center's Operation Liberty, and veterans' employment issues with Jim Finley. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, I would like to extend a gracious welcome to His Majesty, the King of Norway, King Harald V, and Her Majesty, Queen Sonja, during their week-long visit to Minnesota. Minnesota and the government of Norway have had a long, strong relationship due in a large part to the many Norwegian immigrants who settled in Minnesota. This bond has been strengthened over the years by the Norwegian Exchange Program conducted by the Minnesota National Guard and the Norwegian Home Guard. This is an extremely important relationship for the Minnesota National Guard, and we are excited by the fact that in 2013, we will celebrate the program's 40th anniversary. Earlier this week, the Royals visited Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and the Norwegian American Museum there. The college is marking its 150th anniversary, the museum its 130th. They also visited St. Olaf College in Northfield and the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Today, a church service will be held at Augsburg College in Minneapolis, followed by a reception hosted by Governor Mark Dayton at his residence. The event will feature Minnesotans who have been honored by the Norwegian government. A royal dinner will be held later this evening. Tomorrow, the Minnesota National Guard is honored to fly the royal couple to Duluth, where the King will rededicate Inger Park, which the King's father, King Olaf V, dedicated in 1939. On the final day of the visit, the couple will unveil an exhibit at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, marking the 100th anniversary of Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen reaching the South Pole. The Minnesota National Guard is proud to have such a strong bond with the Norwegian military, and on behalf of all of our soldiers and airmen, we are honored to play a part of King Harald V and Queen Sonja's visit.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. This holiday season, hundreds of military families in Minnesota will be gathering with their family readiness groups while their service member is deployed. Thanks to Toys for Military Kids, those parties will be remembered. Joining us now is Les Hansen, the founder of Toys for Military Kids. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Les.
Thank you, Tom.
Can you tell me, you are the founder of Toys for Military Kids. How did this all come about?
In 2001, I wanted to rejoin the military. I'm a veteran from Vietnam era, and I was too old and didn't have a critical MOS, so I decided that I was going to do something to show these families of the deployed soldiers that we do love them, and we wanted to make sure that their children at Christmas time were given a toy from Santa Claus.
So it was an opportunity if their father or mother or both were deployed that the kids through the family readiness groups could have a Christmas party and see Santa Claus and experience a holiday in a normal fashion.
That's correct.
Les, I'm curious, and I think a lot of our listeners are, Toys for Military Kids, and we're going to explore that and see what it is, but how is that different from Toys for Tots?
Toys for Tots is an organization that benefits families that have no income. Toys for Military Children or Toys for Military Kids is specifically for the children of our military and their families.
And even if our troops are deployed, and maybe even when they come back, if they come back to unemployment and they're trying to survive just on a weekend drill check, things are pretty tough, aren't they?
Very tough.
And so you step in and take care of this along with the military groups to make sure that their children can enjoy that holiday.
That's correct. I think it's very important for these children to know that Santa Claus is going to come to them no matter what set of circumstances their parents are in.
Now, Les, you've been doing this for a number of years, but I understand that a few years back you joined the VESE chapter of the AUSA?
I did. 3 years into the toy drive, I found it necessary because of the volume of money that we were collecting to go to a nonprofit organization. The VESE chapter of the AUSA was a perfect fit for Toys for Military Kids.
Now, Les, you still have a full-time job, but you're doing this on the side, and you've been doing it for how many years now?
This will be our ninth Christmas, and yes, I do have a full-time business.
So this is your extra full-time business.
This is the love of my life, other than my wife.
And how much money have you raised? How many toys have you purchased? How does this all work?
Well, so far we're just under $250,000 in toys that we've given specifically to the children and the families of our military, both deployed and now back home again.
And how do you distribute these toys? Do you go to the unit Christmas parties?
Actually, because the military can't come to us, we need to go to the military. And so we ask them if they'd like our help. They'll send back a list of the ages. In many cases, we'll grant the units the money. And if they would like us to come to their party, we will bring the toys and a Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus if they'd like.
Unless you do it through the units, and you also provide some toys to some military families that maybe individually need them?
Well, that was the genesis of the Toys for Military Kids program. And last year we decided that we were going to try and find the families of the soldiers that are either unemployed or underemployed and really needed help. And that was a very difficult task to find. Less than 1% of our soldiers volunteer their time to protect the other 99% of our population, and I just find it incredible that we do have a lot of support, but I don't think enough.
And later on in the show, we're going to talk about veteran employment issues with Jim Finley from the Deeds. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're talking to Les Hansen, the founder of Toys for Military Kids. Les, you just started telling me the last year you started reaching out to individual families, and earlier when we were visiting, you told me a story about one of those. Could you share that with us?
Well, we found eventually 15 families, and one of the families emailed me directly, and the email was, "I've shed a lot of tears and I've had to swallow a lot of pride." This was from a soldier that's returned from Iraq, and what they wanted, the three kids wanted clothes, the wife wanted some hair products, and what this soldier wanted was shelving for his garage. Can you imagine that?
Well, this was a guy that gave a year of his life and served his country and came back and was experiencing some hardship, no job.
I believe that he had a job, but there was some financial stress within the family. But I think the most important thing here is that these soldiers, for so long, give, and it's just not in their genetic background to want to receive. So it's very difficult for a soldier to say, "I need help," and it's very difficult for us to find that soldier, and that's what we want to do.
Proud military families don't want to admit they need some help, but you're finding a way to deliver that help in an anonymous fashion.
Correct. Everything is anonymous. We do not wish to have anybody pat us on the back. This is all done to show our families of our deployed and our soldiers that are back home that there is an unconditional love for them and a respect for our freedom.
So if any of our listeners know of anyone that might need some help, they can contact you through the AUSA, or how do they contact you?
You could go to our website, which is VESSEY, VESSEY5401.org, and navigate to the toy program, and we would be more than happy to respond to you.
And we'll have a link to that website on the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Les, you were in the Minnesota National Guard from 68 to 75, and you're a veteran. Were there programs like this back then?
No.
Anything available to help? I don't remember any.
And not that I know of. I think during that Vietnam era, it was an entirely different mentality than it is right now. I believe that our country right now is fully behind our soldiers, and thank God for that.
Now, since you joined the VESE chapter, and I'm assuming that they've stepped up and they've helped you, are you fundraising all year long? How much of your time do you spend getting ready for the holiday season?
From the end of the season to the beginning of the season, there is no break in trying to generate the capital. And with the economy the way that it is, it's very difficult. So we take every opportunity we can, and we spend every nickel that we receive. In fact, one of my friends one time said to me, "If I give you $100, I know you're going to spend $110.
And so do you have fundraising events throughout the year?
We pretty much do Not actually fundraising events, but we take every opportunity we can. We've just been approached by the Minnesota Orchestra to, they're going to collect toys for us for a production they're doing at the Ordway called Silent Night, which is a real opportunity for us to collect toys, and we're really looking forward to that.
And are there some other organizations helping you raise funds then?
Well, you know, we have a lot of homespun groups that do it. We have some American Legions that do it. We have some AMVET units that help us out. It pretty much is a grassroots organization. We have a real difficult time getting much airtime because of the larger toy drive that pretty much is out there, and we can't really compete with them.
Do you have an idea of the demand? How many toys that you're going to need for Christmas, or is this all kind of a...
You know, we give away whatever we get. 2 years ago, we gave away over $50,000 in toys. Last year, we gave about $32,000 in toys, and that's how much money we collected. There are no salaries. All of our postage is given to us. All of our packing is given to us. Virtually every nickel that we collect goes back to the military families.
And Les, you told me that you found about 15 families that needed a little bit more help last year. How did you deliver that and still protect their integrity?
Most of it was done through volunteers dropping off the product at their families or UPS or FedEx or whatever delivery system we could find to deliver it. The last thing I want to do is to show up at somebody's doorstep and make them feel even worse by having to take it from me than they already feel trying to accept it. So it's very, very anonymous, and I like it that way.
And I'm curious, how many holiday parties does Santa Claus show up to as a result of your efforts and the efforts of Toys for Military Kids and all the people that help you?
Well, last year we did 32-unit parties. Santa Claus didn't necessarily show up at every one of them. However, we have three Santa Clauses that we use and are available to them. A lot of units have their own Santa Clauses. The year before, we did over 50 units. It just depends upon the money that we collect. A lot of times we're spending money that we don't have. We're just trying to get it.
You're doing a great job, Les. Now, how can people help you with the Toys for Military Kids program?
Well, please go to the VESSEY, V-E-S-S-E-Y, 5401.org website, and there'll be a complete listing of everything that you can do to help us out. Any amount of help. I don't care whether it's a dollar or $100. Whatever we collect goes back to the military families.
And Les, any final thoughts for our listeners about Toys for Military Kids and all the good work you're doing?
Well, I just appreciate everything that everybody has ever done for us and continues to do for us. And again, every nickel that we collect goes right back to the military families. This is a great way to show your love and appreciation for our freedom to these soldiers and their families.
Les, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Les Hansen, the founder of Toys for Military Kids. You can find a link to his program on the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to Courage Center's Operation Liberty on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining us now is Junior Mamea and Mike Simon from the Courage Center to talk about Operation Liberty. Gentlemen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Junior, can you tell me a little bit about Courage Center and how did Operation Liberty get started? What is it?
Operation Liberty is a program that is being funded through the Department of Defense by way of a grant through the USOC, and that's the United States Olympic Committee. And the program was presented about 3 years ago to basically remove the barriers for our soldiers that are currently in the war, have been in the war, veterans. So that way they can participate in their sport of choice. And we wanted to make sure that that type of program was available to our soldiers, men and women, that could come and without the barriers of financial as well as equipment to participate in something they'd really loved, you know, prior to their injuries and or their disabilities.
And Junior, what kind of sports are available for our disabled veterans?
Everything is under the radar. Wheelchair basketball, alpine skiing, Nordic skiing, curling. We have power soccer, we have track and field, we have hand cycle. Just about anything you can imagine we offer at Courage Center. It's one of those unique places where if you had, you know, if you're a double amp and you think you can't play basketball anymore, you can. We kind of reinvent yourself and put you in a positive place where you can really do some great things.
Do you have a lot of folks taking advantage of it?
Yes, we do. I mean, currently, to date, we're probably right around about 75 soldiers that have gone through our program. We'd like to see more of the young men and women to come through. A lot of it right now, our biggest population is our retired vets. But we're trying to reach out to the younger population out there to tell them that this program is here, and we really would like to see some fresh faces in here to really partake in a unique experience.
And Junior joining you today is Mike Simon. I understand, Mike, that you were a member of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division in 2007.
Yes, I was.
And are you a disabled veteran?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what happened?
What it was is I came back in the summer of 2007, and I came back to my, you know, civilian life, went back to work. And about 9 months after I came back, started not to feel well, and my wife said, I go to the VA and find out what's wrong. And about 3 or 4 months of tests and a short misdiagnosis, I went under the MRI scan, and they found a 9x12 centimeter brain tumor. At that time, was the third largest meningioma in the VA history. And lo and behold, they got the tumor out just in time. And I lived. And after some long, about 6 months of inpatient rehab and a lot of outpatient rehab, I was able to recover. And this is one of the programs that really helped me, Operation Liberty. It got me back into one of my first loves of activities, that was alpine skiing, which, you know, every year now it helps me prepare for the Disabled American Veterans Winter Sports Clinic in Aspen. But it gets me out there through the winter because I just love to ski. And also, one of my biggest accomplishments is I did my first triathlon in 21 years. So I got in and did the fitness at the Courage Center St. Croix, and I had a personal trainer, Lamont, who did just an outstanding job, and now I plan on working out on my own because the triathlon was just a mission that I just like the military, I set out to accomplish, and I did it.
It's a pretty big goal, Mike.
Absolutely.
How did you find out about the Courage Center's program, Operation Liberty?
Originally, I heard about it through the VA, and actually, I was lucky I have my wife, who's an occupational therapist at the Courage Center. She heard about it as well, and then I was told to contact Junior Mamea. And then now I do my best to tell other veterans about it because I think it's such a great thing.
So Junior's the one that twisted your arm and helped you get back into shape? He's over there laughing now.
I think that was Lamont.
Yeah, a little bit. And then Lamont, he's one of those folks. He's just an outstanding job. The Courage Center's got such great employees. Individuals that work at the Courage Center, it's because they want to work at the Courage Center. They like working with folks, you know, of all ages and different backgrounds. It's a great organization.
Must be incredible to come to where you've been. You were diagnosed with a tumor, you had it removed, and now you're back doing triathlons.
Doing triathlons, and I'm back to, you know, I call it the new normal. Being, you know, typically my injury's more hidden, you know, and it's a brain injury, and it's a new normal of life. I mean, I may always have deficits, but it's called overcoming them, and that's what warriors do.
We're speaking with Junior Mamea and Mike Simon from the Courage Center's Operation Liberty on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Junior, who is eligible for Operation Liberty?
Any veterans that are retired currently in the service that has any disabilities, as well as any kind of injury because of either after the war or during the war, we'll take anybody under that umbrella. So I think one of the greatest things about this program is it just removes all the barriers. Mike will tell you, when you can focus on the task that as far as working out and working at a goal, we have a lot of men and women that come in there with that sense of, well, I just don't know if I can. And somebody like Mike Simon, it's a great mentor, if you will, of somebody that really can have that say you can type of attitude. So we're really happy to get as many as we can into this program.
Mike, it sounds like you've had a great experience with the Courage Center's Operation Liberty. What would you say to other disabled veterans?
I would tell them that it's a great thing. It's done, look what it's done for me, and go out there, check it out, and you can't, you got nothing to lose.
Are you still involved with the program now that you're doing triathlons?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking forward to ski season, and I'm looking forward to doing another triathlon or two coming next spring and summer.
So now that it looks like you're pretty much recovered, what do you still do with Operation? Do they help with your training? How do they help you?
Now, because he's got me on I did the personal training. Now I'm on a regimen to train on my own. So, and occasionally I'll check back in with the trainer and they might guide me. And then of course the skiing, I'll do the winter ski program, and that'll get me ready to go to the Disabled Americans Winter Sports Clinic in Aspen again.
So you're doing some of this stuff with other disabled veterans as
well? Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the best parts. I mean, hanging out with vets, I call it my family away from my family.
And Junior, for our listeners out there, if they know a disabled veteran, how do they contact you and how does this all work? How do you get it set up?
Yeah, they can go right to the Courage website, which is at www.couragecenter.org, Operation Liberty. And basically, all they need to do is contact us through the website, follow the links, and give us a call or an email, and we'll get them set up. We're looking forward to hopefully reaching out to even more our men and women of the military service that have been disabled or injured and to get them involved.
Doing a great job, Junior. Mike, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just check it out. You got nothing to lose. And typical, if, you know, warriors, you know, just stick-to-iveness. I mean,
get started.
Yes.
And it's been a great program for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Junior, one last time, how do they contact you?
Right at www.couragecenter.org. And that's Operation Liberty, and just go to the website, and they'll just follow the links.
And we'll have a link to that website on the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Junior Mamea and Mike Simon from Courage Center's Operation Liberty. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how an iconic Minnesota organization has recognized Yellow Ribbon volunteers that go above and beyond the service members and their families. John Lindstrand works diligently to honor veterans statewide using the United States Military Historical Collection, which he founded over 25 years ago. John cares for, preserves, and shares the history of service members dating back to the Civil War. Using his 4,000-piece collection, John educates schools year after year and hosts a Veterans Day observance in Kandy, Ohio. His passion for local military history not only educates community members, but impacts those who have served. John has reached out to countless veterans and military families to offer support throughout the deployment process. He's worked on the Honor Flight the past 3 years, raising funds to send World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. This past summer, John helped get 2 combat veterans recognized at Target Field. Thanks to the Minnesota Twins for their outstanding Beyond the Yellow Ribbon volunteer program, John was rewarded for his hard work and sacrifice. Last month, he was given 4 tickets to Target Field and recognized during a pregame ceremony. Thank you, Minnesota Twins, for showcasing how volunteers are going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects and coordinates organizations, agencies, and companies to provide resources and support to service members and their families. And it is united to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can become a part of the Yellow Ribbon Network, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org and find a family assistance center in your area. It's time for a short break, but when we return, we'll talk to Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development about veterans' employment issues. This is Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining us now is Jim Finley, Director of Veterans Employment Programs with Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development. Jim, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Jim, need to tell our listeners, you and I go back a while, but you are a veteran.
I am.
And when were you in the service?
1975 to 1977.
And then you joined the department in 1977. How did that come to pass?
Correct. Well, like a lot of guys and gals getting out of the service today, I went and filed a claim for unemployment insurance. And a couple of days later, got a call from the local veterans employment rep saying, hey, Mr. Finley, we have a job for you. And I said, well, I appreciate the attention, but I'm going to go to school and hang out with my friends and do some things before I start thinking about going to work. And he said, well, that's very good. I understand. I'm a veteran myself, but since you've just been offered a job, suitable employment, and you've refused it, you're no longer eligible for unemployment insurance. So my next question was, when can I start?
And you've been there ever since.
And the rest is history, right.
What a great way, but you've had some fun over the years too, haven't you?
I have. I think that I'm working with the greatest clientele in the world, and that's veterans.
And the first thing they told you to do is go find some more veterans that need jobs and fix them up.
Well, the original intent of the program was, to help some other veterans find jobs and then actually find one for yourself and move along and make room for somebody else. But I missed the memo, and so 30-some years later, I'm still here.
Still in the same spot.
Still, yep.
Only now they're calling you the director.
That's the truth. It's a little scary.
So, Jim, tell me a little about Veterans Employment Program. What do you do there, and how do you help veterans find jobs?
Well, I work with 31 other veterans employment reps, some of the best folks you'll ever want to meet. They're all veterans themselves. In fact, most of them are disabled veterans. And we work out of the 49 workforce centers across the state of Minnesota. Veterans are among the last group of folks that are still getting one-on-one services. A lot of the operations in the workforce centers, we do a lot of workshops. We do a lot of work trying to get people ready for the job search. And with veterans, because we've got dedicated staff, we're able to work one-on-one with those veterans that identify barriers to employment. Barriers to employment can be anything from lack of direction to issues they're still dealing with regarding reintegration. So we see a huge variety of vets from a huge different backgrounds. The military, about 40% of the occupations in the military, if you were to do them in the civilian world, require a civilian certificate or license or diploma. So the vets that are coming back from current conflicts are very skilled. They make great employees. It's not the same group of folks that came back when I came back in 1977, obviously.
Jim, are there other ways they've changed? When we came back from the Vietnam era and I came back from Vietnam War, times were a lot different in the United States.
They were, absolutely. In fact, the whole Yellow Ribbon effort is different. And I know I talk to a lot of vets of our era who find this whole thing very cathartic. To see veterans of current conflicts come back and be welcomed the way they are and have the resources and services available. And most of that goes right back to actually the current commissioner at Vets Affairs, Larry Shelato, former General Shelato.
And, of course, he goes back to Vietnam. He and I have talked a number of times.
You bet.
The way things were when we came back were not so good, but
that's right.
We've taught our children, and our children are teaching their children to respect and support those who serve today.
That's right.
And I understand that we've got 10 years of war. Do we have a new breed of veteran coming back now looking for work?
We do, and again, I go back to when we came back. We didn't have a lot of advanced skills. A lot of us were involved in infantry or armor, artillery, what they refer to as combat arms. Not a lot of applicable occupations in the civilian world for that. The folks that are coming back now, even when you see infantry soldiers coming back, interestingly, we got a call from a company the other day that works with farmers and co-ops around the country. And they're looking for infantry soldiers because they have been trained to use GPS systems. And one of the things this company does is go out and marks fields so they can identify what kind of seed was planted in a particular part of the field and make comparisons about what's growing best and what resists bugs and weeds the best. So where you would look at an infantry person on the outside and think, well, they're just a basic infantryman, carry a rifle. They've got a ton of skills that maybe they don't talk a lot about, but that are there. And in fact, one of the biggest challenges that returning veterans have right now are soldiers, Marines, sailors, and airmen is being able to describe those skills to an employer. Employer has to be able to see a person doing their job, and when you're talking military jargon and lingo, they don't make that connection.
We're speaking with Jim Finley, the Director of Veterans Employment Programs at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Security Development on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Jim, it was a good example you mentioned there. You know, when I got off the farm, we spread fertilizer and stuff, but today they use equipment called terrigators that spread chemical and equipment using GPS, and they spread it by the ounce per acre.
Right, right.
And so even in the military today, the technology is much greater than we were there. And I know that you've got a special program over there to help returning veterans write up a resume and convert their what they learned in the military into language that civilian employers right. can understand. How's that program working?
It's our big challenge is getting veterans to come into the workforce centers and connect with local veterans employment reps. There are a number of different tools out there that veterans can access to do that military to civilian skill translation, and the vet staff and the workforce centers are familiar with those tools. Some of them are based on your military occupational skill. Some of them are based on civilian occupations, the translation. So it gives you an option of how you want to look at this. The bottom line is soldiers need to get to the point where when they talk about what they did in the military, they're not talking, as an example, about being a tank driver. They're talking about being involved in the operation of a vehicle that runs on an endless track, that has computer systems. And by the way, they were the tank commander, so they were also a supervisor. So they have supervisory skills. And those are the kinds of terms that civilian employers will understand. They may know what a tank is, but they know nothing about what goes into the operation of a tank. So we have to get veterans to slow down a little bit and explain those skills and experiences in very specific terms that relate to something that civilian employer can understand. About 7% of the population in Minnesota are veterans, which means about 93% of the people that a veteran's going to talk to during an interview is not a veteran.
So one of the very basic things you need to do is help them translate the military jargon
right.
into what a civilian employer can understand
right.
and how that might fit into his company.
Exactly.
Jim, we have to take a short break, then we'll be back. We're speaking with Jim Finley for the Veterans Employment Programs from Minnesota Deeds. This is the Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm here with Jim Finley from Minnesota Deeds. And Jim, usually during the second half of the show, we have a message from one of your friends, Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
I was happy to defer to the commissioner.
So that means it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
This fall, the Minnesota Veterans Home, Minneapolis, will open the doors to the new Adult Day Service Center. With the guidance of the Minnesota Historical Society, Building 4 on the Minnesota Veterans Home Minneapolis campus was remodeled and will house the center. The remodel reflects not only the needs of the program, but also the era in which the building was built. This will be the second program of its kind in the country to be opened by a state veterans home and the first to be housed in a historic building. And we are very proud of this. The purpose of the Adult Day Service Center is to enable participants to achieve or maintain the highest attainable physical, mental, and psychological well-being, while still enabling them to remain at home. Eligible veterans, spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents will enjoy a unique program that provides much-needed respite for their caregivers during the day. This center is another great example of the exciting things happening at our Minnesota Veterans Homes.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're here with Jim Finley from Minnesota Deeds talking about veterans employment issues. And Jim, just like the commissioner is busy these days taking care of veterans benefits and veterans issues and so forth, you've been over at Deeds since 1977 helping veterans find jobs.
Right, right.
Jim, I'm assuming, I know, that includes past veterans as well as current veterans, and I know that your department have been working closely with the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Red Bulls, that are now deployed over in Kuwait. There's almost
right.
2,600 of them. Can you tell us about your interaction with our current troops?
Sure, Tom, thanks. We are determined that we're going to start working on this unemployment issue with these veterans that come back before they come back. We were able to get some information. Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve was able to collect some information on the veterans that are going to be coming back. So we have an idea about how many of them are going to be looking for jobs. Besides that, though, we have an idea about what kind of jobs they're going to be looking for and which community or which part of the state they're going to be returning to. So part of our plan includes we've got some additional funding from the Department of Labor, and we're going to hire additional veterans employment reps, about five of them. And they are going to start working immediately, to use a military term, to soften the battlefield, with employers, to start talking about employers, about the skills that are coming back, about the high-quality personnel that are coming back and what great employees they make. So ideally, we're going to have jobs lined up for some of these folks, or at least interviews, when they get back to Minnesota.
Jim, we've had Colonel Kerska on the show before he left for Kuwait, and he talked about all of the great troops, soldiers that are going with him, and they come from every county in the state, and we have armories all over the state.
You bet.
So I'm assuming when you've interviewed these soldiers before they left, we've got people coming back looking that need jobs when they come back all over the state. Is that correct?
That's right. And in fact, one of the luxuries that we have, that DEED has, Vets Employment Services, we have veterans employment reps that work out of all of the workforce centers across the state. So we have staff in all parts of the state. We have staff that is familiar with local businesses in all parts of the state. We have staff that really are experts on this whole job search process. So one of the biggest challenges that we face is, again, getting back to when you and I got out of the service, we walked into an unemployment office because that's where you went to get unemployment insurance and to look for a job. A lot of the veterans coming back from current conflicts are filing claims on the internet or on the telephone, which wasn't available when we were of that age. And so many of them never get into a workforce center. When I went into the workforce center, I met the veterans employment rep, and I was exposed to different services and resources. But a lot of these folks that are getting out now never get as far as the workforce center door. In fact, a lot of them research things on the internet, and unless there's a reason for them to go someplace, they don't go. So if they don't immediately see something that's attractive to them at the workforce center or don't understand the services there, they typically won't come in. So our biggest challenge is to get veterans to come into the workforce centers. In a number of the workforce centers around the state, they do networking groups. And we've all heard that networking is the fastest route back to a job. Well, we've developed these groups. We invite employers in. Veterans come in and talk about what's working, what's not working. They share job leads. Every single week in these groups, we have veterans come back that report they've got a new job. And many times they come back to recruit their friends from the networking group. So we're trying to employ a lot of different tactics to help these vets when they come back, the ones that need it. And our goal is to get started on this before they get back to Minnesota so we can start solving some of these issues right away.
Now, Jim, do you have an idea? Are some of these younger vets going to go back to school when they return, and some of them need to find employment right away? Is it a large number based on the percentage of soldiers going to be returning next year?
You know, we are thinking it's going to be close to 20% that are going to be looking for something, for some job. Now, some of those folks will certainly go back to school. But as a matter of fact, a lot of soldiers, or a number of soldiers that are in the National Guard and the Reserves now, one of the moving forces or moving reasons to join was the educational benefits. And in their plans is to attend school, to go back to school full time as soon as they return from their first deployment, when their benefits get really good. And so some of these soldiers are not unemployed when they come back. They're students, and that's what they had planned to do all along. The fact of the matter is the unemployment rate amongst all soldiers is way too high. And so that is what concerns us. And the unemployment rate in general you hear on the news is high. In Minnesota, we're about 2 points behind the national average. But we're higher than the national average for veterans. And so that is what the big motivation for us is.
We're speaking with Jim Finley, the Director of Veterans Employment Programs at Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development, on Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Jim, for our employers that are out there, I know you've met with probably hundreds of employers in your career to talk to them about veterans and hiring and so forth.
Yes.
But for those employers that might be interested in hiring one of these returning soldiers, what do they do?
You know, we try to keep this very simple. We facilitate a website, minnesotaworks.net. There's no charge for employers. There's no charge for service members. Service members can post their resumes. In fact, they can post up to 5 different resumes if they're looking for different kinds of jobs. Employers can post their jobs. They can control those completely. They can open them. They can close them. They can change salary requirements or educational requirements. So the first stop we recommend for employers is minnesotaworks.net. If you go to positivelyminnesota.com, you can also connect to the Veterans Employment page and get connected to your local Veterans Employment rep, who can also help you recruit locally and kind of help you through that process at Minnesota Works if you have any questions how that works. We've also got a career fair coming up in May. We do this every May. It's Hire a Veteran Month in Minnesota. And we don't have an exact date yet, but it's very well attended. Typically, we have between 1,000 and 1,300 veterans show up and around 100 of the best Minnesota companies.
And we'll have those links on MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Jim, we're just about out of time. Final thoughts for our listeners?
Again, we want to thank all the veterans. We want to thank all their families for the sacrifice they've made. This is not an easy situation to get through. Families struggle. Soldiers struggle. They worry about their families back home. So we're going to be very glad to get all our soldiers back. We're looking at early summer. So that'll be the high spot for us when they all come home safe.
Jim, I'm glad you're over there working so hard for our veterans, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Jim Finley, the Director of Veterans Employment Programs at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Les Hansen from Toys for Military Kids, Junior Mamea and Mike Simon from Courage Center's Operation Liberty, Jim Finley from Minnesota Deeds, Commissioner Larry Shelado from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about Tee It Up for the Troops and Minnesota Women Vietnam Veterans. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.